Every year on the 25th of January, Holy Mother Church celebrates the feast of the conversion of St. Paul the Apostle. This year, because the 25th of January falls on a Sunday, unfortunately, we don't get to celebrate this glorious feast day. The regular Sunday celebration takes precedence. However, this is not the case in the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls in Rome, where St. Paul himself is buried. At this very hour, and in about the next 15 to 10 minutes, at 5:30 p.m. Rome time, Pope Leo XIV will begin Second Vespers for the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul, which is always a solemnity in that basilica. Our diocesan director for divine worship, Father Arns, is there at this very moment, waiting for solemn vespers to begin, as I said, in just about 10 minutes. The Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul is also the conclusion of the week of prayer for Christian unity. For 1 week, from January 18th through January 25th, today, the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul, Holy Mother Church asks us to pray and make sacrifices for the unity of all Christians within the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the only true church established by Jesus Christ. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 822 says that the reconciliation of all Christians in the unity of the one and only Church of Christ transcends human powers and gifts. In other words, that means that we can't achieve Christian unity if we are relying only on our good looks and hard work and brilliant intelligence. We can't do it on our own. We need divine help. We have to pray and ask God for the grace for Christian unity. Of course, praying for Christian unity is not a new concept. On the night before he died, our blessed Lord prayed in the upper room, ut omnes unum sint, so that they all may be one. You remember the prayer, don't you, from John's Gospel, chapter 17. Jesus prays, Father, may they all be one, as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one. Now, 23 years after our Lord's prayer for Christian unity in the upper room, in the year 56 AD, St. Paul received a progress report from a character by the name of Chloe about the first Christians living in the city of Corinth. St. Paul says, it has been reported to me by Chloe that there are some divisions among you. Some of you have been saying, I belong to Paul. I was baptized by Paul. Others are claiming, no, 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 I belong to Apollos. I was baptized by Apollos. And then others said, no, 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 I can top that. I belong to the Pope. I belong to Cephas. That's the Aramaic name for Peter. St. Paul likes to use his Aramaic name. And then others were saying, I can top you all. I belong to Christ. You see, with all these divisions growing within the church in Corinth, St. Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write a letter to the early Christians, in which he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you. The word division there is schismata. That's the Greek word, that there be no schisms among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. That all of you agree. That seems difficult, doesn't it? All of you agree? Is that even possible? But we don't all have to agree on whether we like Chinese food or Mexican food. We don't all have to agree on whether we take white milk or chocolate milk at hot lunch. We don't all have to agree on paper or plastic. We do all have to agree on the truth, on what Jesus reveals to us. We all have to agree on faith, right? Doctrine, what we believe. We have to agree on morality, how we live our faith. We all have to agree on what's right and what's wrong. We all have to agree on how we pray. That's worship. Why? Well, because what we believe and how we live and how we worship aren't determined by us. They're determined by God. You see, we can agree on these things because they're not a matter of opinion or personal preference. Faith and morality and worship have been given to us by God, by Jesus. So it is possible to agree on these things. St. Paul says, be united of the same mind. Is that possible? Is it possible that we're all of the same mind? Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 32, says that the community of believers were of one mind and one heart. So the Bible says that the early Christians had one mind. They were all thinking the same thing. They were of one heart. They were all loving the same thing. How is this possible? To be united in the same mind and in the same heart. St. Paul tells us in the very next chapter in his letter to the Corinthians, it's chapter 2, verse 16, but unfortunately we never read it on a Sunday. He says this profound sentence, we have the mind of Christ. So it is possible that we all have the same mind, as long as we put on the mind of Jesus, so that we think like Jesus. We all need to have a heart transplant like St. Mary, Margaret Mary Alacoque. We want to ask for our Lord's sacred heart, so we can love like Jesus. You see, this is how we can be united in one mind and one heart, if we have the mind and heart of Jesus. So we can think like Jesus. And love like Jesus, just like in heaven, just like in heaven, because in heaven, the saints agree on absolutely everything. There are no divisions in heaven. In heaven, they all have one mind and one heart because they have the mind and heart of Jesus. And St. Paul concludes by saying, be united in the same purpose. The same purpose, because we have the same mind and the same heart, the mind and heart of Christ. Now we can have the same purpose, the same goal, the same end. And last week, St. Paul began his first letter to the Corinthians by saying that our shared goal is to, do you remember? Our shared goal, he says, we are called to be holy. Some translations say we are called to be saints. That's our same purpose. Our shared goal is that we're all called to be holy. We're all called to be saints. We're all called to give honor and glory to the triune God forever in heaven. Heaven is our common purpose and goal. You know, there's another paragraph in the Catechism, paragraph 821, that says that certain things are required in order to recover the unity of all Christians, and it lists what they are. It says one is conversion of heart. Conversion of heart. Repent. I remember someone saying in today's gospel. Conversion of heart. Repent. The Catechism says that as the faithful try to live holier lives according to the gospel, it will promote Christian unity. Brilliant, isn't it? Because the Catechism says it is unfaithfulness of the members of Christ which causes divisions. So if sin causes divisions, it will take sanctity to heal divisions. The solution to healing divisions is that each one of us works on personal holiness. That's our unity in the same purpose. So, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind, in the same purpose, so that truly we all may be one. Amen.